Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, liberation, peace, wellness, health, and sustainability for all. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. In this episode, we're featuring vegan awareness and holistic health. And I'm very honored that we're joined by David Jardina in New York City. David is an animal liberation activist, model, filmmaker, author. He's just amazing. So this is great. Thank you very much, David, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Oh, thank you, Marlene. It's always a pleasure to be here. And I, as I've said before, when I've been on your show, you are such an inspiration to myself and so many others, both vegan and non-vegan. And I think you're really making a difference with raising consciousness. So
thanks.
Gratitude to you for that.
Oh, thanks. And you too. Your TV show, the Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the show is called Celebrating Art, and it airs on the Manhattan Neighborhood Network every Tuesday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Great, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thank you so much for joining us today, David. And one of the things I'd like to discuss is the vegan awareness and how important that is for the big picture. Can you talk about some examples of what's happening these days?
What isn't happening these days?
Yeah.
I like to look at this time that we're living in. I'm sure other people in other times have kind of said the same thing, but I really feel it's true now. We're living in this nebulous time frame, this era, where we're crawling out of a very low ebb of consciousness in human history. And maybe I'm just being idealistic, but I think that we're climbing out of that long, low ebb of low consciousness, and we're about to go into a higher realm, a higher level of consciousness. And we'll keep it very focused on vegan, the vegan thing. Well, when I was a kid, I didn't know what a vegan was, never heard of it. And then years later, when I was a young adult, I'd heard of veganism. Then after that, I started meeting vegans, and then I became an activist, and then I started to learn all about different things relating to veganism, that it's not really a diet. I mean, diet is involved with your choices as a vegan, but now I'm seeing that there's more awareness, where it's the discussions on the table, so to speak. You're hearing about it in the media, good or bad. People are discussing veganism, and from different angles, people are still confused about it as far as what it is. People always immediately say, well, I can't be a vegan because my doctor says I need protein, that whole old argument. But the fact that veganism is now being discussed like never before, going from when I was a kid, no one ever heard of that word, till now everyone pretty much knows what it is. I think that's signs of change. And we're going to get past this level now of hostility towards vegans, and we're going to move into something where it's going to be more normative. It's on its way to becoming normal. So it sounds idealistic, but I really feel that's what's happening right now.
Yes. And as we know, with all social justice movements, when they start building steam and momentum, that's when the powers that shouldn't be come in and start infiltrating and co-opting the movement. And we see that happening too, and especially to create division.
You're so right. And it happens in very insidious ways that people still are not very aware of. And certainly on the internet, social media, very easy to do that, and I think they've mastered it. They really get into different groups, different discussion groups, and pretend to be someone that they're not. They pretend to be a very conscious vegan person, and they just drop little things. And suddenly everyone is fighting with each other within these groups over certain points about veganism. They really do think it's purposeful. I don't think it's just the haphazard people having their opinions, which is a valid point, but I think it's being cultivated. I think this division and this animosity within the vegan community is it's a planned thing. And people will say, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. Well, I think it's real. I think it's happening. People do plant, they plant these, I don't know what you call them spies or whatever, in groups like that, online and offline as well. It's happened in groups, so it's an unfortunate reality with humans.
Yes, and one of the things I really admire and respect you is that you're an animal liberation activist. And so that's another thing that's happening in the vegan movement, where those who are promoting welfareism, which is still promoting slavery, is confusing to vegans and also to the general public especially. You know what I mean?
You're right. It's incredible. Isn't it incredible to think of that? It always goes back to that whole welfareist, as you mentioned, that welfareist attitude, where it's not the idea of exploiting sentient beings for our purposes whenever, however we deem fit. It's how you do it. That's the same. Give them a good life. But giving someone a good life does not excuse exploiting them and commodifying them and violating them and torturing them and kidnapping them and killing them, ultimately. It does nothing justifies that. We wouldn't want it done to ourselves. Why do we think it's okay to do it to others? And humans really have this disconnect of denial, of entitlement, of really normalizing ignorance. And it's not serving anyone in any good way, including themselves. So it's a frustrating situation, which only goes to show that how important activism is. Activists are not saying we're better than everybody. We're saying we're better off for being this conscious, that no sentient being deserves or desires to be treated in such a horrible way. So it's important for those people who do have that level of consciousness to speak up, to say something, to address this normalized horror. It's needless what's happening.
We're listening to David Jardina in New York City. David is a vegan animal liberation activist, filmmaker. He's also a singer. We'll have a little musical interlude with his song, None But the Lonely Heart. Horror everywhere. We are up against a huge mountain after mountain after mountain from all institutions and organizations. It's really something. So yeah, kudos to all the vegan activists who are, you know, staying steadfast in this work for animal liberation, which, as we know, and I know you know this too, the boomerang effect and the golden rule, that animal liberation is absolutely necessary for human liberation, because veganism is about ahimsa, nonviolence, and non-slavery, and also questioning the official narratives that are being spewed out everywhere and even mandated by the, I use the word carnist, by the carnist non-vegan institutions, including Big Pharma.
Oh, absolutely. That was one of the first things to go out the window. I really hate to say this, and I'm not saying this to be disparaging against the any so-called vegan or animal liberation activists, but that's what was happening during, and I'll say it outright, the scandemic. It was happening at that time where you were working closely for years with these vegan activists, and animals, 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 how terrible, what's happening to the animals, we have to stop it. We would go to disruption, march on the streets with signs, we would talk one-on-one, we'd do outreach, we would write letters to congressmen and congresswomen, and we were doing all of these things on the front line, getting arrested together. And then suddenly the scandemic came along, and oh, we have to take the vaccine because that's what the media said. We got to take the vaccine. Big Pharma's pushing this vaccine. We'll do it. And oh yeah, it's made from animal substances that they killed animals and baby animals. But that's okay because we have to stay safe. So suddenly all of these things about all sentient beings deserve and desire, just like we do, to live freely, safely, happily. That suddenly, everything went out the window, all the things we were striving for. And no matter how I, not just me, but others like me, were trying to address these people. Hey, what happened to your activism? What happened to the rights of all sentient lives not to be used for pharmaceuticals? And nope, 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 nope. When we would talk like that, we were condemned outright. So that's an example of the disconnect, even with amongst frontline vegan animal liberation activists. So can you imagine if we're up against those people, what we're up against with people who aren't even vegan? And you know, we are up against it still. It's a frustrating situation, but that's why it's important for us to be out there. I think at one point you and I had a discussion recently about, oh, go along to get along. No, just you got to do it. You're not going to make any changes. But when they come up with a whole list of reasons why we got to keep the status quo. But again, it's because of that attitude that those who are have the presence of mind to say, you know, this is wrong and it doesn't need to be this way, and it's important for it to change, we have to take the steps to encourage people. We can't change people, but we can encourage them to change and heighten their awareness.
Yes, when I research what goes on with all the mandates of the injections, oh, for years and still happening to the millions of mice and rats, ferrets, dogs, cats, chickens, horses, cows, monkeys. And on, it's just outrageously horrific. That is the animal exploitation industry. It is the animal ag industry. Big Pharma is the other side of that same carnist coin. So, oh, we just got to keep at it, keep at it. And I do believe we will succeed in creating a world of ahimsa, of nonviolence, non-slavery, the vegan world. Again, thanks to you. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're joined by David Jardina via Skype in New York City. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with David Jardina. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We're listening to The Duck Song by Will Tutter. Let's continue our conversation with vegan animal liberation activist David Jardina.
Yeah, well, you're right when you say that it infiltrates every aspect of human existence. We have just commodified animals to the point where we don't even think twice about it. They're used for pharmaceuticals, for regular street clothing, our fashions, high fashion, to costumes for shows, movies, things, props, including bird feathers. You know, people don't think twice about the bird feathers, you know, these glamour things with the, you know, with those long feathery things that people wear. Those are real feathers. And hats for many years, women's hats would have lots of feathers. Thankfully, that style has gone away, but animals are still commodified and still used for these things, including costumes and clothing. Well, all we have to do is think about the down industry, down pillows, down comforters, down coats, vests, whatever. You know, that's a nice down. It sounds so nice, so soft and pleasant and comfy, but it isn't, because it's an industry. These animals that are used for the down are seen as commodities, as objects to make money. And they literally put them in a rack, they bolt them down, and they, by hand, rip their feathers out while these animals are screaming. Now, most people can't imagine an animal like a goose or a duck screaming. They do. They scream like children, frightened, tortured children, because that's what they are. And it's not just one time. They rip their feathers off, and then they put them in a pen and wait for their feathers to grow back, and then they do it again. And they keep doing it until the bird is dead, and then the bird is cast aside. If they're not already dead, they kill them for some other commodity. So that's just one aspect. But there's so many countless other aspects of this, of just feathers alone, and what is done to these birds. It's amazing how people are so in denial about that too. You know, as activists, we are on the streets. We go to the places where they're selling these items. And we have signs showing exactly what's happened. And people say, oh, it's a lie, it's not true, it doesn't hurt the animal, it doesn't kill the animal. And even with the fur, they say, no, fur coats don't kill the animal. I said, no, what happened to them for that fur? They get a haircut. People have literally said this to me. Oh, that they just give them a haircut like they do with sheep. I said, well, let me just tell you something. If you want to talk sheep are abused too for their wool. It's not just a little haircut, a simple little haircut, and then we take their wool and it doesn't hurt the sheep. Those sheep are commodities. Again, they're raised, they're bred and raised and kept as objects to make money for that industry. And the wool industry is very big. And these sheep are treated abominably, horrifyingly. I mean, I don't want to go into what happens to them, but it's not pretty. There's nothing from start to finish. The life of a wool sheep, a sheep raised and bred for wool, is horrific, and you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy.
I think it is important for everyone to do research, all aspects. And again, that's what I like about your activism, too, that you look at the big picture, the holistic perspective. Recently, I saw a otherwise cute little film that encouraged children to research into what you just talked about, the feathers that are used in the children's entertainment industry. Yet that same film discouraged, in a very overt, shocking way, discouraged children or anybody to research into what went on with the mandated injections.
And I know what you're talking about. I have seen that film as well. And it's the same thing, same reaction. It's this lovely little film using puppets talking about how horrible it is that animals are mistreated and used and abused for costumes, for clothing, for even puppets, to make puppets for their hair and everything. And it makes a good point that animals are living, thinking, breathing beings, and they don't deserve that. But at the same time, they had to sneak in that agenda. So that's what makes me think, again, it's a very purposeful. They lure you in with this nice message about animals, but they use that to slip in and to solidify and to perpetuate, but status quo. Keep things status quo. Don't question the pharmaceutical industry, because that's what this is all about. Obey, comply, take the vaccine. Don't talk, because if you do, it's dangerous. You're a threat to others. You don't comply. They say that all in about two sentences in this little film. They get it in there, as you notice. And I thought it was just extremely horrific, blatant. It was egregious, and corrupt. To put that in there, just like the pharmaceutical industry was, and the whole agenda to get people in lockdown. That the damage that did to humans is beyond calculation. What happened with people taking these things, and it broke apart social structures. People who, you know, were close to their friends, that suddenly it just broke people up. People were fighting, or just not, they weren't allowed to see friends, family, visit loved ones. It was awful. The whole message of this film is kindness, and for them to enforce and perpetuate the importance of complying and not questioning something like the pharmaceutical industry is very irresponsible.
Thank you, David. At this time, I'd like to report, veganism is a liberation movement. Authentic veganism is synonymous with medical freedom, health freedom, and related news. In its filing with the U.S. Supreme Court on June 10, 2024, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons calls for overruling the century-old precedent of Jacobson versus Massachusetts, which has been used to uphold many unjust vaccine mandates.
Boss comes up to me, says, vaxes are required. If you don't comply, then you'll be fired.
Get thee behind me, Satan. Travel on down the line. I am a freer man, gonna leave you behind.
Learn in school today, dear little child of mine. What did you learn in school today, dear little child of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free, and that's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
And you can do it too. It's easy,
so easy.
When you stop funding
exploitation,
it's not hard stopping animal abuses. Basically, it's as easy as pie.
The hard part is being raped and murdered.
All sentient beings deserve to be free.
One, two, three.
This is duo David Giardina and Gino Morello. They call themselves the Esteemed Onions. Has three short snippets of their many songs, taking the oldies and veganizing.
It's easy,
so easy.
Just stop supporting needless cruelty. One in one or two. I know you're smart and decent. You know what to do. Just live in alignment with your morals. You're simply stopping exploitation.
One, two, three.
Oh, that's how elementary going vegan can be.
Come on and do it now. It's easy.
And now back to our interview with animal liberation activist David Giardina in New York City. For our listeners, and how our listeners can learn more about you.
I have a book. Speaking of all of what we've been talking about, it's encapsulated in my book. My book is called A Banana in My Pocket. And it's basically a discourse on health, but it involves veganism and activism and many different things. Because, like you said, it's holistic. It's many things combined in this whole thing, in this whole topic. It's called A Banana in My Pocket, and you can find it at croonprince.gumroad.com. So it's Croon Prince, that's CroonPrince.gumroad, that's G-U-M ROAD.com, where you can find lots of things. Books I've written, including A Banana in My Pocket, recordings I've made, because I'm a singer, so I have my recordings, and films that I've made that have won awards.
Now here's one of David Jardine's songs. This is Sympathy.
Can anybody help me out with some spare change so I can get some organic cashew milk over here?
Hard, hard luck. Well, I guess that I have had my share. Fortune smiles, but she just gives me the icy stare. Seen the time, a single dime looked to me like a silver mine. Yesterday, I took a trip to play blackjack. Same hard luck, walked it all the way from Sheepshead back. Lost my dough, and friends I know just said I told you so. All I got was sympathy, but it ain't a bit of use to me. When I was broke and hungry, my friends all said to me, "Don't worry, Dave, there's lots of fish down in the brook. All you need is a line and a rod and a hook." Ha! Ain't it funny when you look for money, all you get is sympathy. Landlord too treats me just as mean as mean can be. Money down, or just kindly let me have the key. Once I know, rain and snow, out in the cold world had to go. Friends of mine, they just shook their heads and answered no. Sorry, Dave, money doesn't grow on trees, you know. Sympathized and criticized, and all of them advised. All I got was sympathy, but it ain't a bit of use to me. When I was broke and hungry, my friends all said to me, "Don't worry, Dave, there's lots of fish down in the brook. All you need is a line and a rod and a hook." But that's not even vegan for career.
Ain't it funny when you look for money, all you get is sympathy.
Go vegan.
Thank you, David. In Power to the People, we will restore the power to the people and sovereignty for all beings, all sentient beings.
Indeed. I'm with that.
Thank you. And thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thanks for having me again, Marlene.
Take care.
Okay, and we'll talk to you very soon, Marlene. Bye-bye.
Much thanks to David Jardine for joining us on Vegan Nation, and much thanks to our listeners and the vegan educators and all the vegan activists worldwide. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Please join us again next week at the same time. We're listening to the geese song by Will Tuttle, and then we'll go out with the duck song. This is Marlene in Massachusetts. Wishing you a pleasant, beautiful day.